Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. Good day, sunshine. We take a walk.
Hi, let's keep moving
down.
Here, 33 after the hour. Doug Steffen in the conversation mode, which is usually the place to be, at least when we're on the air. Listen, learn, and participate. 888-302-3684 if you want to. Facebook.com/Good Day. Twitter at Good Day. And you can say anything that you want. There is nothing that you will say that'll sound stupid. I may say things sometimes that sound stupid, but you will never, ever be criticized for sounding stupid.
That's our job.
Awkward, maybe. Right, exactly. Awkward. Richie is at the controls in our studio in Washington. Kenny, he would not say that. He's too much of a gentleman.
Nah.
Jennifer, eh.
She has her moments.
Right.
I specialize in stupid.
Yes, you, well, no, in, well, pointing it out maybe a little bit, but the audience
sure
doesn't like that word necessarily. Maybe we could put it, it's awkward. I like that word instead of stupid.
I'm sticking with stupid.
Ever made a situation worse by putting your foot squarely in your mouth?
Many times.
Oh, yeah.
Many times.
You mean in general or just today?
I know.
Yeah. Most people have experienced some kind of difficulty in communicating. We are not unique here on the Good Day program. Jennifer is going to bring us up to date on a study done in her home state, Kenny's home state, my part-time home state. California data show that there is a big racial disparity in the number of people being arrested by the police and the number of people being shot by the police. So those of you who have a problem with me and say, you don't like the police, I first of all, you're not listening to everything that I say, but this study more or less, I don't think it backs it up, but it gives you cause to think. And what's going on in Baltimore this week also gives you cause to think. By the way, I think each one of those policemen are going to be tried separately, if I'm understanding correctly the news out of Baltimore from yesterday, right? All six of those
guys.
That's
one of the things they were trying to determine today.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah. Have them tried separately.
I didn't see whether they did determine that or not.
I think they did, but I'm not sure. All right, Jen, what about this data?
So 6%, the story comes out, and it's dealing in population and in ratios. So 6% of Californians are African Americans, yet they're involved in 17% of all arrests in the state and a quarter of in-custody deaths. Now, when you pull this apart, the state of California has a huge Latino population, so you would imagine that they lead the arrests, which they do. I mean, in Southern
illegals.
California. I'm sorry?
A lot of illegals in that list.
A lot of them, yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And in Southern California, the Hispanics outnumber the Caucasians. Now, with African Americans, I don't know if this disturbs me. There's one thing about it that disturbs me. So 6% of Californians are African American. Great. That's the fact. 17% of all arrests in the state are African-American arrests. That doesn't necessarily bother me so much, because the difference, I mean, you don't really know who's to say that there's a certain number of people that are going to commit a crime based on their race. I mean, maybe these are people that are committing more crimes. So that doesn't bother me. What does get me is that they're 25% of all in-custody deaths. That number is very high. So that makes you think, okay, maybe something...
25% of the deaths are black, is that what you're saying?
Are
in,
black,
in
yes.
Jails.
So of in-custody deaths, 25% of them are black. That's pretty high, wouldn't you think?
I would say that was not a good number.
Not
First
a good
of
number.
All, why are people dying at all in custody? I'd like
it's
to know the answer to that.
It's a great question. Some people, you know, may injure themselves. Other people may have pre-existing conditions. But that's what you need to break out of this data is how many of these things are natural and how many of them are inflicted. But this idea that there's a certain ratio between the number of people of a certain race in society and how many arrests there are. A criminal is a criminal in my book. I mean, whether you're white, black,
but
brown, purple.
The point of this
purple,
is to figure out why so many are black. Why are there so many black criminals?
That's a great question. People speculate. I've heard a lot of people speculate that it's because the family structure in black America has been damaged and that black men don't have a lot of leadership and guidance and they go out and commit crimes. They leave their families. And there's proof to that. That's not just a blanket statement. There are high numbers of no family structure in that community.
That argument has validity to it?
I mean, you're asking why people commit crimes.
Yeah.
So that would be one of my answers that I would submit to you.
Is why there are so many blacks in jail. And I hear a lot of people criticizing the fact that there are so many blacks in jail, but not figuring out why.
But think about it. I mean, in California, in this survey, only 17%. That's not a majority at all. It's just that they're saying there's such a few amount of black people.
There's 6%
the number is so low.
Are black. 17% of the arrests.
But I would challenge
the population,
people,
but 17% of the arrests.
Right. I would challenge people what that ratio really means. I mean, is there like some predetermined thing that I didn't get the memo on that says X amount of people live here, so X amount of people will be arrested? I mean, if you're committing a crime, you're committing a crime, right?
But I think the point here is, at least in part, what I get out of it, is there's selective enforcement. That's what I think the subtle
could
suggestion
be.
Here.
Or maybe there's higher enforcement in certain communities, but... Right. To be fair, those communities are also the places where the most crimes are being committed.
Well, then who's there? You drive down, and my son proved this to me once a number of years ago when he and I were on the 405. I think we drove, I don't know, 15, 20 miles, and I was speeding. And then I slowed down. He said, "Why'd you slow down?" I said, "Because I'm going too fast and somebody's liable to grab me." He said, "No, you'll never get stopped." I said, "What do you mean? I'll never get stopped." "You will never. You are a white man driving a white car. You will never get stopped unless you're involved in an accident where somebody's hurt. Nobody will ever bother you. You can drive as fast as you want. However, if you're a black man driving a red sports car, you'll be stopped on 3-4 times."
Oh, even and if also if you're a white man in a red sports car.
Or if you're not a white man, but a white blonde woman. Driving a red sports car.
What a load.
What?
No, I'm not kidding.
You two are. You and your son are just...
Really? And how do you prove that?
Because I'm a white man that's gotten plenty of speeding tickets.
Really?
Yeah,
but not in California. Do you ever get a speeding ticket in California? I'm talking about California.
In California, they don't pull over white guys.
No.
Come on.
Wow.
That's what I'm saying.
I'm moving.
Yeah.
So you're saying if you and I were driving the same car, the same red Porsche down the freeway, that I would get picked up and
you would get stopped and I would not. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
I don't believe
that. Well, try it.
You want to?
Yeah.
Let's rent cars the next time we're in California.
We'll go to that place in Santa Monica that rents the expensive cars.
Your son is off the rails.
I mean, maybe I'm naive, but that doesn't make any sense to me.
We're both naive.
Hey, listen, my brother's a cop in the worst neighborhood in Washington,
D.C. Are they driving cars in the school where he's on duty?
Well, I mean, we talk about all this. How do you... when he took me down there for the first time, I had no idea this existed in America.
You know what I would love to know? Are the stats in the Washington, D.C. area, because the population there in Washington is about 60% black. What's the population of people being arrested in D.C. as compared to the population of blacks that live in D.C.? What percentage of arrests?
It's got to be high because it's such a high population.
Well, is it that high? Is it the disparity in California is vivid. I'm betting it's not so vivid in the district.
I don't know, but my point is, how do we get rid of these communities, these neighborhoods, where this is their whole world? They never leave this world.
Well,
they live,
then you get into
work,
the situation
die
that
in this neighborhood.
The president has introduced a new bill that will put certain amounts of low-income housing in all areas and all, so they're kind of mixing that class system. So is that what you're suggesting is a good plan?
You know, something's got to be done, because if we think we can just keep it in this circle there and that it's going to get better.
So we want the government to solve another problem, Rich?
Right.
Well,
I
think we could do it with community planning.
Mm-hmm. Who's going to do the planning in the community?
I think we can do it with the big culture shift and let people know that they can get out of their situation, that there is hope, that they can go to school, do things the right way, and succeed in this country and reinvigorate the American dream. I think that would be something great that we could do, and that would start with changing the culture, changing the idea that you're in a hopeless situation.
And Doug, to answer your question, planned communities are created by companies every single day, where they build a town center and then they build low-income to high-income housing all around it. I think capitalism could fix this problem of having ghettos that are locked off and that are crime-ridden.
I think that's a great idea. And oftentimes they are started by tax incentives that government offers to get these, like
and
Detroit.
And then government gets out of it. Yeah. They offer the tax incentives and they say, "You go take care of it."
Well, around where I am, there's too much government involved in owning some of these rejuvenated neighborhoods. They own the public housing. It's called public housing. And there's way too much of that.
I mean, D.C.'s right. done a great job, and you're going to hate this, but you look at where the Washington Nationals play and that stadium and where the Washington Wizards play and Old Chinatown. Those are two.
Oh, that's all that area has been completely rebuilt.
Yeah.
It's different now. When I first started going to Washington, you don't recognize the place now.
It's amazing.
Chinatown is not at all what it used to be. And that's really a part of it's sort of on the east side of Washington, but it certainly is downtown.
But I'm not sure how much low-income housing there is
around
there. I mean, it's big
Zero.
Money. It's big money.
Yeah, there's nobody down there. Let me quickly talk about something going on. I guess the question would be, what's wrong with this mental picture? Two daycare workers in New Jersey charged with child abuse yesterday for running a fight club with young children.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that nuts?
The children are 4, 5, and 6 years old.
They're doing it online. They're doing it on Snapchat.
The first rule of the fight club is you have to be able to cross the street by yourself to be in the club.
That's not the first rule of fight
daycare club. Workers thought it would be a good idea to post videos of the fights on Snapchat, these morons. Oh, my God. These are the kind of people that go to jail for the rest of their lives. Throw away the key, put them with drug dealers, murderers, and rapists, and throw away the key. Who in the world, what kind of subhuman creature comes up with an idea like that? And they're running a daycare center. Mm-hmm.
And people are watching. That's the grossest part.
God.
They wouldn't do it if people weren't watching.
I know.
And you know what the first rule of Fight Club is, don't you?
There is no Fight Club, Rich.
There is no Fight Club. And the fourth and fifth rule, Jen?
Fourth rule, only two guys to a fight. Fifth rule, one fight at a time, fellas.
It's a great movie.
No, it's not, because it puts ideas like that in people's heads. It's a horrible movie.
When you see the end of this
44
movie,
Doug, past the hour. Doug Steffen, good day.
Today on App Check, tea. This $2 app is a must-have for tea drinkers. No detail has been forgotten. Exceeds expectations.
Bravo.
Tea. It's a hit.
Don't try to fight the IRS on your own. Use Coast One Financial Group and let them help you get a fresh start. Dial 877-219-8780. That's 877-219-8780.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. So, do women prefer younger men or older men? Well, in this pop culture day and age, you tend to hear a lot about older women and younger men, even television shows about cougars. But when it comes to marriage, do women prefer younger men or older men? Here's the social science of it. The answer, women prefer older men, but not by too much, only 3.4 years older. But what about men? When it comes to age, do men prefer older or younger women? The answer here, opposite what women want, is younger, but not by much, only 2.7 years younger than they are. What's the cheap psychological trick? Men want younger, women want older, but both want love and companionship. And you know what, guys? That's just plain out timeless. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Lovers, at drbuff.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number.
Call 888-359-MY-TV.
Big success in a minute with George and Mary Lynn.
If you haven't watched this show, you've certainly heard of it. It's broken a number of network records.
The show is Duck Dynasty, and Phil Robertson says he can't figure out why people are so attracted to his family.
But the attraction began back in the 1980s. Phil was looking for an outlet for his duck products, so he produced fun videos that became popular among the community of hunters.
Branding expert Liz Goodgold says the family's humor, quotable sound bites, and catchphrases make it memorable and easy to share among fans.
What unique characteristics do you have? Use them to create your own dynasty. It leads to big success.
Find big success at BIGGSuccess.com.
Have back taxes taken control of your life, your bank account, your paycheck? It's time to take back control and avoid tax liens, bank levies, garnished wages, and criminal charges. Take control today and call U.S. Tax Shield now at 800-524-6201.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
This former All-Star is a two-time Gold Glove winner and the 1994 National League Rookie of the Year. In 1997, he became the first Dodger to join the 30-30 club, repeating the feat in 1999.
Oh, man, turning on this one, hits it high and deep. It's gone!
So where is Raul Mondesi now? Since retiring from baseball in 2005, Raul has returned to his home in the Dominican Republic, where he's taking a swing at politics. In May of 2006, Raul was elected to a seat in the Chamber of Deputies for the Dominican Liberation Party. And in May of 2010, he was elected mayor of his hometown, San Cristobal.
La clase política no cambia. Ahora nos toca el caso del síndico PRDista de San Cristóbal, Raul Mondesi.
Raul Mondesi, a true hometown hero. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
All right, a couple of cool things from the feds, or I'm not sure they say this about the feds. There are some interesting things. NASA is a federal program, so maybe we can make that sort of how it's put together. If you haven't seen some of the pictures on the NASA.gov website of the research that's being done, especially the pictures of the hurricanes, the video of the day today at DougStephan.com is from not necessarily, well, I think the pictures, if I'm not mistaken, Kenny, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't there a coordinated effort between NASA and NOAA to get these hurricanes, the pictures of the hurricanes and the typhoon in the Pacific?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. So if you want to see the view from space of what these hurricanes and typhoons look like as they plow into, well, they're moving toward China across the Pacific, this is one heck of a view. Check it out, video of the day at DougStephan.com. The International Space Station is getting full. There are a number of astronauts, 9 of them up there, as a matter of fact, right now. And I think they're going to do a press conference today, are they not? Or the teleconference, something here to discuss and focus on their missions, with a special focus actually on getting to school kids. Now that school is open, they're trying to make more of these things available, and I think that's a great idea. We got to get back to encouraging people to go into space, or at least get scientifically into. We have a hole now in our country for science and scientists. So we're having to bring people in, go to school here, and giving them special dispensation to stay and work in our science areas. If you know anybody who's working for NASA now, look through. It sort of reminds me of the days of Wernher von Braun, who was the first guy to come up with the idea of shooting a rocket into space. He developed, designed the first rockets for the Nazis, and then we brought him over here so that he can build our first rockets, and he did. But many of the people, because the government scared off, what, how many people? 6,000 alone down in Melbourne at Cape Kennedy when they shut down the projects that were connected to the shuttle. So they fired 6,000 people. Where'd they go? I don't know where they went. But they didn't stay in the technology business. They went to work for a lot of the companies that were pieces of the pie there. But we need those people back again. Check out some of these people, some of these pictures. Video of the day, DougStephan.com.